नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 16. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vyaktam Atmavatam Atma, Bhagavan Atma Bhavanaha, Svanam Anugrahayemang, Siddha Rupi Charatyajaha. I'll say that again, if the translators, it'll be easier for them if they can read the verse and purport without just hearing it from me. This is Canto 4 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 22, Text 16. 4, 22, 16. The translation is as follows. This is from the narration of Prithu Maharaj meeting the four Kumaras. So Prithu Maharaj says to the four Kumaras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always anxious to elevate the living entities who are His parts and parcels. And for their special benefit, the Lord travels all over the world in the form of self-realized persons like you. Purport. There are different kinds of transcendentalists, namely the jnanis or impersonalists, the mystic yogis, and, of course, all the different devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kumaras, however, were both yogis and jnanis, and finally bhaktas later on. In the beginning, they were impersonalists, but later they developed devotional activities. Therefore, they are the best of the transcendentalists. The devotees are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to elevate the conditioned souls to their original consciousness, they travel all over the universes to enlighten the conditioned souls about Krishna consciousness. The best devotees are Atmavat, or those who have fully realized the Supreme Soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Paramatma, is sitting within everyone's heart, trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he is called Atma Bhavana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always trying to give the individual soul the intelligence to understand about himself, to understand about himself. This is himself written with a capital H. In other words, to understand about Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always with the individual as a friend, sitting by the side of a friend, and he gives facilities to all living entities according to their desires. The word Atmavatam is significant in this verse. There are three kinds of devotees, namely Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari, the neophyte, the preacher, and the Mahabhagavat. See, the Srila Prabhupada in this purport has equated Madhyam Adhikari with the preacher. Three kinds of devotees, the neophyte, the preacher, and the Mahabhagavat, or the highly advanced devotee. The highly advanced devotee is one who knows the conclusion of the Vedas in full knowledge. Thus, he becomes a devotee. Indeed, not only is he convinced himself, but he can convince others on the strength of Vedic evidence. The advanced devotee can also see all other living entities as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Without discrimination, the Madhyam Adhikari, preacher, is also well versed in the Shastras and can convince others also, but he discriminates between the favorable and the unfavorable. In other words, the Madhyam Adhikari does not care for the demoniac living entities, and the neophyte Kanishta Adhikari does not know much about Shastra but has full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kumaras, however, were Mahabhagavatas because after scrutinizingly studying the Absolute Truth, they became devotees. In other words, they were in full knowledge of the Vedic conclusion. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed by the Lord that there are many devotees, but a devotee who is fully conversant in the Vedic conclusion is very dear to him. Everyone is trying to elevate himself to the highest position according to his mentality. The Kamis, who have a bodily concept of life, try to enjoy sense gratification to the utmost. The Gyanis' idea of the highest position is merging into the effulgence of the Lord. But a devotee's highest position is in preaching. All over the world, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the devotees are actually the representatives of the Supreme Lord, and as such, they travel all over the world directly as Narayana because they carry Narayana within their hearts and preach his glories. The representative of Narayana is as good as Narayana. But he is not to conclude, like the Mayavadis, that he has become Narayana. Generally, a sannyasi is addressed as Narayana by the Mayavadis. Their idea is that simply by taking sannyas, one becomes equal to Narayana or becomes Narayana himself. The Vaishnava conclusion is different, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sakshad dharitvena samasta shastrair uktastatha bhavyata eva sadbhihi kinto prabho ya priya eva tasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, a devotee is as good as Narayana not by becoming Narayana, but by becoming the most confidential servant of Narayana. Such great personalities act as spiritual masters for the benefit of the people in general, and as such, a spiritual master who is preaching the glories of Narayana should be accepted as Narayana and be given all respects due him. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manamapi Shachiputramatra Sarupam Rupam Tasya Grajamuruparim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Matavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri atav padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatanvitam tam sajiva sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam Sahagarna Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mm. I thought to speak on this verse today as today is scheduled a festival of glorifying myself as being as good as God. So it's very bold of myself to accept such a position. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada states that devotees who are preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world are actually representatives of the Supreme Lord. A devotee's highest position is in preaching all over the world the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee is as good as Narayan by becoming the most confidential servant of Narayan. Srila Prabhupada writes, such great personalities act as spiritual masters for the benefit of the people in general. And as such, a spiritual master who is preaching the glories of Narayana should be accepted as Narayana and be given all respects due him. So this is my excuse, you could say, for accepting this. But there need not be an excuse, as Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote a Bengali saying that a girl who comes to dance on the stage doesn't pull the sari cloth over her head. She's come to dance, which means she's taken an dance in public, which means she's taken an unchaste position. So to cover her head with a sari and try to be chaste while she's dancing in public, it's inappropriate. So yeah, I'm here to accept that. Srila Prabhupada taught, well, it's not only what, of course, Srila Prabhupada, whatever he taught was according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Sarvartan, one should offer one's wealth and everything one has to the Guru. So if there's any respect which is coming, that should be offered to the Guru. But anyway, more or less, I'm taking the position of, not just today, but every day, taking the position of being a perfect person and being honored in that respect. It's a very big claim. In what sense can I be considered perfect? In this regard, I am going to read from a transcript of words that Srila Prabhupada said after a class on Bhagavad Gita in Miami on February the 25th, 1975, when he was asked by a professor, are you a perfect master? Srila Prabhupada replied, oh yes. Oh yes, because I heard from the perfect. I am not perfect, Srila Prabhupada. Now, he's asked if he's perfect. He says, yes. And then he says, after that, I am not perfect. What's going on here? It seems that's an imperfection in itself to state two opposite things. Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, but what I say that is perfect. Just like a child does not know what is this dictaphone, but he has learned from the father, this is a dictaphone. So when he says this is a dictaphone, it is perfect. The child is not perfect, but because he has heard from his father what is perfect, so the knowledge is perfect. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada stated, oh, I didn't keep the reference for that. Srila Prabhupada stated, whatever Bhagavan will speak, that is absolute knowledge. And if we take it, oh no, sorry. What I just quoted was from a conversation in Caracas on February the 19th, 1975. And now I'm going to quote from Srila Prabhupada speaking in a Bhagavad Gita class just 6 days later in Miami. So Srila Prabhupada said, "Whatever Bhagavan will speak, that is absolute knowledge. And if we take it, then we shall be perfect. I may be imperfect, you may be imperfect, but when we take knowledge from the perfect, that knowledge is absolute. Just like a child does not know something, what it is, but if he asks his father, 'Father, what is it?' the father will not cheat. He will give him the right knowledge. This is this. So he may be a small child, imperfect, but because he receives the knowledge from his father who knows, that knowledge is perfect. Similarly, we receive knowledge from Bhagavan and we distribute that. We don't make any addition or alteration. Therefore, we present Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Srila Prabhupada repeats, we don't make any addition or alteration. Therefore, it is perfect. The Krishna consciousness movement, whatever knowledge they are spreading, that is perfect. Don't think that the man who is spreading it is imperfect. He may be imperfect. He is imperfect." So Srila Prabhupada says, don't think he's imperfect. And then he says, he is imperfect. And then Srila Prabhupada says, I am imperfect. This is all in reply to the question, are you a perfect master? Which Srila Prabhupada immediately replied, oh yes. I am imperfect, every one of us is imperfect, but we are not spreading the imperfect knowledge because we are simply spreading what Krishna has said. We are repeating, that's all. So this is our Krishna consciousness movement, to distribute perfect knowledge, Krishna consciousness, and that will make the whole world happy. So try to distribute this knowledge to your best capacity. Krishna will recognize you, that you are trying your best to work on his behalf, because he comes down to distribute the knowledge. Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata tadatmanam srijamyaham. Because we are all his sons, we are suffering. So he wants to see that our sufferings are mitigated immediately. So as I said, it's a very bold position to take, the position of being honored in the manner that I am honored. In this regard, I'll narrate one anecdote from the life of Sri Vallabhacharya. But before that, I'll relate a small anecdote from this life of my own. That once at our farm near Karumandurai in Tamil Nadu, I saw a frog who was just standing in one place and clearly too old or too sick or definitely too weak to move anywhere, but still alive. And he couldn't move anywhere. He would have moved if he could, because inspired by Paramatma, the ants, they always find out if there's some food for them available. So these red ants, you know, if one of them bites, it's very painful. They were covering his whole body and literally eating him alive. What a way to die. You could just see he was breathing very... They breathe, the sacs on the side of their throat enlarges, and very suffering condition. All I could do was say Hare Krishna to him. I could have washed the ants off, I guess, but that would have killed them. Anyway, now to the story of Sri Vallabhacharya, who once, when walking with his disciples, came across a similar situation. This time it was a snake who was so old or weak, he couldn't move at all, hardly could move, and there were ants eating him alive. And Vallabhacharya said to the disciples that this snake in his previous life was a guru, and the ants were his disciples, but he instructed them wrongly, by a dint of which they fell into the lower species of life, one as a snake and the other as ants. And now the ex-disciples are getting their pound of flesh, so to speak. They're getting their revenge. What goes around comes around. They're getting their revenge. They don't know, but they're eating him, causing him so much pain because he'd caused them so much. The guru had caused them so much pain. In this respect, there's also another narration from the Uttara Ramayana that Lord Sri Ram was sitting in his palace, and he had a time of day where anyone with any complaint could come to see him. And then as the king, it was his duty to rectify the situation if anyone had any complaint. So he told Lakshman, go and see if no one was coming in Ayodhya with Ram as king, where there's not going to be anything wrong. Everything was right. So anyway, there was no one there, so Sri Ram told Lakshman, then you go outside, see if there's anyone there. Lakshman came back and said, there's no one there. No one's coming to complain. So he said, go and look and see if there's anyone. So Lakshman went again, and there was a dog. Dog there who somehow had the power to speak. Of course, at that time, you know, the monkeys were also speaking. So it wasn't so surprising. The dog was speaking and said, he requested, if I could be allowed into the presence of Ram, then I have a complaint to make. So Lakshman allowed him in. And the dog complained to Sri Ram, you see, I'm very old. I can hardly move. With great difficulty, I've come here to see you. I was lying in the road when a sadhu, in the pathway, when a sadhu came down the pathway, and he gestured with his stick that I should get out of the way, but I didn't because I couldn't move. Very difficult for me to move. And although there was enough space for him to just walk around me, he became angry and beat me. So I came here to complain about that. That this sadhu, he's not behaving like a sadhu. You should do something about this. So Rama said to the dog, of course Rama, he is omniscient. He could understand what is going on. He said then, well, what do you recommend? What treatment should I give to the sadhu for this improper behavior? And the dog said, you now just recently the post of the head of the most prominent mutt or religious institution has become vacant. The mataadhipati, the head of the mutt, has passed away. So you place this sadhu as the head of the mutt. And Ram said, tatastu, yes, let it be. Let him become the head of the mutt. So everyone was surprised. That's a position of great honor and respect, and everyone will bow down to him and take his order, and he'll be served and honored everywhere. So everyone asked Ram, what is this? And he said, Sri Ram said, you ask the dog. And the dog said that, well, I used to be a sadhu in my previous life, and I was not such a bad sadhu. And as a result, they put me in charge of the mutt. But getting so much honor and respect and facility, I lost my sense and I mistreated people. So I mistreated the sadhus. So as a result, I was punished by becoming born as a dog. Now this man, this sadhu who beat me, he doesn't appear to be a sadhu at all. He's just in the dress of a sadhu. For no reason, he became so angry that he beat me who had really done nothing. So if he becomes head of the mutt, he's going to make so many offenses and he's going to get his punishment. Now, it's not really a funny story, but no, it's very unfunny actually. So what a risk it is to take the position of being in charge of sadhus and guiding people. It's really kshurasya dhara. It's the razor's edge. Kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya. So how can I be so bold? Well, the explanation is there, that if one simply receives the knowledge, I'm quoting from Srila Prabhupada, we receive knowledge from Bhagawan and we distribute that. We don't make any addition or alteration. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada states in the purport that we just read that a devotee's highest position is in preaching all over the world. That's not the complete sentence. A devotee's highest position is in preaching all over the world the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the devotees are actually the representatives of the Supreme Lord. Not because they preach exactly, or to be more exact, because they preach the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, if we stick to that point, of preaching the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one becomes the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very bold to take that position of being respected in this way. But the formula is very simple, very straightforward. Srila Prabhupada made it very clear. Everything Srila Prabhupada gave us is very clear to understand. If we go into abstrusities, there may be some points, but the basic understanding is very simple. We simply have to preach on the basis of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then we become the representative of Krishna. Considering all of this, I'm surprised at the courage or bravado of various members of Srila Prabhupada's society, who even after getting this clear message that Srila Prabhupada received, they become bold enough to preach all over the world, but not the unadulterated message. They add or adulterate, which Srila Prabhupada warned about. So it's a very dangerous position to not present exactly as we have heard. If we present the message that Srila Prabhupada gave us, then the result will be the same. The result will be the same as the result that Krishna himself comes to the world for. Quoting again, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, he wants to see that our sufferings are mitigated immediately. So if we give the right knowledge, then our sufferings, or the sufferings of those who hear the message, they are mitigated. We're just quoting that verse. Yasyang vaishuyamananam krishne paramapurushe bhaktir utpadyate pungsa shokamoha bhayavaha. By loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, all lamentation, illusion, and fear are immediately mitigated. Anartho pashamang sakshad bhakti yoga madhoksha jay lokasya janato vidvang chakra satvata sanghitam. All these, not only the lamentation, illusion, and fear, but all kinds of unwanted accretions on the heart of the conditioned soul are immediately mitigated by the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People don't know this, and therefore, he who knows this, Vyasadeva, compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. And practically in our own lives, we can experience how our sufferings are mitigated by taking to Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada famously said, he was making hippies into happies. My own personal life, I can see I was suffering so much. I didn't even realize that I wasn't just suffering now, but I'd been suffering life after life. Especially at the present time, it being Kali Yuga, and it's only the beginning of Kali Yuga, but as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted, it appears that the symptoms of the end of Kali Yuga are present already in the world. There's so much suffering in the world. So many people come to me and tell their dukha kahini, their tale of woe, and I just think of people in Syria who are just sitting in their, or Yemen, are sitting in their home, and all of a sudden they're blasted to pieces, and or they're left with just one leg, and all their family members are dead, and their house is completely destroyed, and it's hardly even news because it happens so often. Terrible suffering all over the world. And even people who appear to be in a fortunate position compared to those who are in a war situation, people who have enough money and a house to live in, people are tortured. Their minds are tortured. There's so much promotion of lust and greed and envy in the modern world that if these are in the heart, lust, greed, and envy, no one can be happy, even if they have all their material needs fulfilled. Of course, they never think it's fulfilled, and therefore that's one reason why even when people have all that they need to live, they have enough for ahara, for food, for they have a position to sleep, they're not in any immediate, obvious danger like being in a war situation, but still so many people are simply suffering due to the mind. And many people we see, they look quite happy, but internally they're suffering terribly. And this is more common in the so-called advanced countries of the Western world, and increasingly in India also, as India becomes more and more westernized, that as Srila Prabhupada notes in his purport to the Prayanalpayasha Sabhya verse, brief description of Kali Yuga at the beginning of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada notes that in the Kali Yuga, the mental sufferings are even more than the physical. And even the physical sufferings, we're seeing they're increasing more and more. As time goes on, well, even in my lifetime, I can see that the present generation of young people, they're mostly unhealthy, which wasn't true a generation ago. Young people being unhealthy, it shouldn't be like that, but it is increasingly. For all the advancement in medical science and so many hospitals, but people suffer physically. But even worse than the physical suffering is the mental suffering. And people suffer so much just from... boy has a girlfriend, she jilts him, and he suffers so much. Just one example. Husband and wife, they a young boy and a young girl, they marry. They think everything's going to be like Bollywood, everything's going to be nice. But even if husband and wife get on very well together, which is increasingly rare in the modern age, but even then, they have to struggle and suffer so much. So much anxiety. They may lose their job. They take a loan and they think they're going to be able to fulfill it. They can't. Or one of the members gets very sick and the other is obviously had problems with the children. And so many difficulties, so much sufferings. Pretty much everyone in the world at the present time is really struggling with life. Just two nights ago, I was speaking with one family who came to see me in the evening. And I was saying to them, their modern life is full of anxiety. And the children there, they're about 15 years old, said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was actually surprised that they that resonated with them so much. Anyway, I definitely can't complain. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I can say at this stage of my life, I've had a much better life than everyone who's not in Krishna consciousness. There must be millions of people all over the world at my age who've led useless, horrible lives. It may not be horrible, means they may be just doing some ordinary job. But as they get older, they may begin to realize how uselessly I've lived my life, and there's nothing of any value in it. I was reading about there's study of people who are really obviously in old age on the threshold of death, and what do they feel? These merciless sociologists going around and interview people, even on the verge of death. So, what do you feel about your life? What do you feel good about it, and what you regret about it? And most of them said they don't really feel good about anything; they regret everything, because there was nothing there. What did I lead my life for? Even materially speaking, people, if they look back at their lives, they say, "Oh, I mistreated that person. I should have done this at that time. I didn't do." And many people at my age, especially in the advanced countries of the world, and increasingly in India, as India becomes more so-called advanced, many people see ahead of them old age with physical suffering, but even worse than the physical suffering, they're going to be lonely and unwanted. They'll be put in some institution with other gloomy old people who are just put there waiting to die. And then, or if they're in Belgium, they might go for a checkup for their chest cough and get an injection and be euthanized. This is going on. Euthanasia, deliberately killing people medically, is legal in Belgium. So what we hear, they see old and useless people and without asking them, just give them an injection and kill them off, which is illegal, but no one cares because they're useless people anyway. They've got nothing to contribute to society. Old people, what have they got? They're just a burden. It should be that old people are respected for the wisdom that they impart, that they've gone on learning throughout their life and led a religious life, and so they help to moderate the madness of the young people because they've been through that themselves and they know better. And another way they moderate is because the young people respect the old people. So if they tell the young people, don't do this, the young people feel obliged to follow. But without that culture, then old people, what are they? They're simply a burden on society. That's what situation I would be in if I was still alive. It's almost unthinkable to me. If I hadn't been graced by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, then if I had lived to this age, which is also questionable considering the improper kind of life I was living, then I would be in that situation, no doubt. Gloomy, lonely, old age ahead. But by Srila Prabhupada's grace, I'm living happily among the best people in this world. Even materially, I live very well. I'm served, all my needs are fulfilled. Oh, now I'm going to be a snake. Maybe I already am a snake. Some people may see like that. If I simply take advantage of the facilities, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that a spiritual master is not an enjoyer of the facilities offered by the disciples. The disciples, they like to offer everything to the guru. They'll take all trouble because they receive something valuable. It's actually a good deal for the disciple to serve the guru because he gets something so valuable in return, or should be getting something so valuable in return. What the guru can give, the knowledge and the guidance, is more than the guru can ever, than the disciple can ever reciprocally respond with. So, how does the disciple try to repay a debt which cannot be repaid? Then he also has to take in the next generation. Or even while present, he has to guide those who are junior in devotional service. And after the disappearance from the world of the guru, the disciple is expected to go on and teach others. That's the for all brahmanas, it's they learn, and then in the next generation they teach, or they may begin to teach as soon as they may begin to teach from the early 20s. They study, they go home, they get married, and they begin to teach, and they're still under the guidance of their father. And this way the Brahminical culture goes on. They have to, what they have received, they have to pass it on to others. So even though I was raised in a culture which is far, far away from Brahminical culture, I'm now happily living among very, very good people whose lives are dedicated to Krishna, whose goal of life is not simply to eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, who have the highest goal of life, who sincerely want to serve Krishna. So I have to thank Srila Prabhupada for saving me and putting me in this situation, and to all the devotees who are giving me real association, meaningful association. It's my experience of my association with all of you is not, it's not a show of guru-disciple relationship. There's really a reciprocation of wanting to know about Krishna, wanting to serve Krishna. It's not perfunctory or a formality. It's not going on as a show with the disciples thinking that, okay, I'm serving him now, but wait till he's dead and then they'll serve me. It's not going on like that. And the disciples, they're also acting in such a way that I can see among some of you that you're fully qualified. If I'm qualified to be a guru, definitely at least some of you are also. And practically you are acting like that to the junior devotees. So in that way, you're also acting as my gurus, because I can see how seriously you're taking this Krishna consciousness and really wanting to, really doing everything for the sake of benefiting others. Yesterday I was talking about that, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives the highest benefit, that is his mercy. And the devotees, they also do. So if I had to thank you all individually, name by name, then there are so many of you, it would take so long. There wouldn't be enough time. But I have to thank especially those devotees who travel with me and look after me hand and foot. There's an English saying, hand and foot, looked after in all respect. All my needs are taken care of. Needs means man does not live by bread alone. So it's not just arrangements for, it is arrangements for eating and sleeping, but also arrangements for preaching, helping with my writing. Beyond those who are directly with me, there is those who work on producing and distributing my books and my lectures, and that's really the essence of being a guru, is or the practical manifestation is the instruction. So thank you so much for dedicating yourselves for producing and distributing my books and the talks. And as you all know, I hope, I'm very interested in doing my part to try to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire for establishing Varnashram communities. So I'm very happy with the devotees who have gone to live on these farm communities, and really very, very seriously, sincerely, dedicatedly living in the farms. And it's so nice to see that every morning, without fail, everyone is going to Mangal Aarti, and the children are growing up and learning. And now some of the children, some of the boys who are in the Gurukul, they're out in the preaching field. What they learned, they're speaking to others. So it's all very, very pleasing to see. To see the little girls, maybe 8 or 9 years old, looking after the little babies, which is normal, but it's not normal nowadays, because the little girls, they're at school. learning all kinds of useless or worse than useless things. They never learn how to be a mother, or that they're even supposed to be a mother. They might learn that they shouldn't be a mother. They might get taught that. And then if eventually they reluctantly become a mother, then they don't act as a mother. They never had any practice. They never saw anyone acting as a mother. They don't know what it means to be a mother. They just think the baby's a nuisance. What can we expect that that people are suffering so much mentally, because from the beginning of their life they've never known even what the cats and dogs get, which is a mother's love. They've never known it. The mother is too busy working to look after the children. So it's very pleasing to see that the young girls, no one has to tell them or instruct them, but they naturally look after the little babies. So even in a little thing like that, we can see how Srila Prabhupada's instructions, they just make perfect sense. That we should live very simply, live according to the traditional culture which Krishna has given. It's Krishna's culture. It's not my culture that I invented. It's Krishna's culture. And if we live like this, then even materially people, they'll be much more satisfied. And if we have Krishna consciousness, then everyone will be yayatma suprasediti, not just satisfied, very, very happy. So in this way, like I said, I can't say all the names. So many devotees sincerely serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. Some are prominent and well-known. There are many who are not very well-known. When I say prominent and well-known, I mean among this relatively small group here, among my disciples. So I see the devotees there, they're working so hard just to make this festival go on. There are so many devotees, you don't see them, you don't hear about them, they're working hard literally day and night and have been doing so for days. Why are they doing that? Why should they do that? They don't get any payment, they don't get any respect. What do they get from it? Because yayatma suprasediti, it's a haituki, a pratihata. From that devotional service to Krishna, ultimately it's all meant for Krishna, it's not meant for me. I'm here because I speak about Krishna. Otherwise, why should you bother? Srila Prabhupada noted when he was in Rishikesh in 1977. At the same time, there was one Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, he was present there, who was at the time much more famous than Srila Prabhupada. He was in the Mayavad Sampradaya. He'd gone to America and introduced what he called transcendental meditation. What they call transcendental meditation. There's nothing transcendental about it whatsoever. But he'd become very famous by cheating people with his so-called transcendental meditation. So Srila Prabhupada noted, comparing himself to this yogi of sorts, that this man, he has so many followers, but in his institution, those who are directly working in the organization, the office and all this, he has to pay them all. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's the difference between me and him. He has to pay everyone, and I don't pay my disciples. But still, they work much more hard and with their heart in comparison with his. Now, why are they doing that? Because they experience that they are receiving something very real. Now, I said I wasn't going to mention any names because there'd be so many of them, but I'm just going to mention one name here because he's quiet, not much known, but the service he's doing is just really amazing. And I have some insight into that because I used to travel mostly alone in villages of Bangladesh. And even though the people receiving me were very hospitable and very welcoming, still it was very difficult to go on and on and on, just traveling around by oneself and preaching in the villages in a language which in the beginning I was just learning. I didn't even know the language when I first went there. So Govinda Datta Prabhu has come from Europe and he's traveling mostly in the villages in North India. He has health problems. He has difficulty being in a hot climate. And he's living in India. But he's going village to village and speaking the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, very faithfully, without changing anything, in Hindi, a language which he learned obviously after coming here, and doesn't take any respect from himself, very gentlemanly, always thinking how to help, acting in a manner that he can help all the people he comes in contact with. So I just thought I should mention him, but actually there are so many who are taking so many difficulties and very dedicatedly acting for the benefit of others. And I must also thank very much Haripada Prabhu and Mataji and Mukunda Datta Prabhu for coming, not just now, but again and again. I'm sure you're all very happy that they're coming. And apart from the knowledge that they share with you, just to see them as an inspiration and to see that now, as they enter old age, after spending a life in Krishna consciousness, they are enthusiastic for chanting the holy names of Krishna. So you can get inspiration that you can go throughout your, from them, you take inspiration that you can go throughout your whole life. You can remain in Krishna consciousness, be like them. Remain in Krishna consciousness and be happy by chanting the holy names. There are many, many reasons for not being happy, but nama shrai kari jatane tumi. We should simply take as practically Haripada Prabhu, that's the essence of your preaching. Take shelter of the holy, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And practically you're demonstrating that also by your very life. So thank you so much for coming again and again and again, and please continue to do so, and it's very kind of you. Thank you very much. So overall I'm very happy. Overall I'm very happy, but I shouldn't be. In one sense we should be happy, in another sense not. That Prahlad Maharaj says, what is that verse? Naivod vijay paraduratyaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittam shocheta tovi mukacheta sa indriyaratan maya sukhaya vimukhan. What is the verse? Maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimurhan. He states that to Nrsimhadev, I'm very happy. He's talking to Nrsimhadev. Nrsimhadev's sitting there still growling a bit, covered in blood, the remnants of his father's body splattered. Prahlad himself must be spattered with blood also. It wasn't just Hiranyakashipu who was killed. There was a whole slaughter of millions of demons. And Prahlad's saying, yeah, I'm very happy. I'm always happy because I remember you, but I'm unhappy because seeing these foolish people who are in Maya and suffering. So it is possible to be spiritually happy and unhappy. But that's on the high level of pure devotion. When one sees the unhappiness of others. But we ask the puja whether one is offering it to one's guru, or in my case, well, Vyasa Puja means I'm worshipping Vyas. That's why it's called Vyasa Puja. Or even if you say Guru Puja, Guru is Vyas. I'm here to be honored, but I have to look in my heart and see also, am I properly serving my guru? Am I really serving in the manner which is fully pleasing to him? I can talk about, I can say, Sri Guru Charane Rati, Aisheyu Tama Gati. I can say all these things, but am I really acting on that platform? So, we should always be dissatisfied. We should never think, yes, I'm doing enough. We should always want to do more for Krishna. And we see that. Srila Prabhupada is such an example of that, that he went on pushing, always wanting to expand the Krishna conscious movement. Of course, it's very difficult to talk about the bodily health of a pure devotee, because a pure devotee's life and everything about him is in the hands of Krishna. He's diving prakritim ashritaha. He's in the shelter of the divine energy. But at least speaking from our mortal perspective, Srila Prabhupada sacrificed his health. He pushed his body just to benefit the world. He could have retired. But he did so eventually when from mortal vision, his body became too sick to travel. And even then he traveled once to England, and then he once planned to go to America, but instead he came back to Vrindavan Dham. In one sense, I could also pass away now. I mean, I see there are many good devotees. They can carry on. They've imbibed the spirit that I've tried to inculcate in them. They can. If I were to not be with you from today or tomorrow, you'll carry on. You know what is to be done. And Krishna will give the intelligence how to do it. But I'm not in such a hurry to leave. It's all in the hands of Krishna. Everything's in the hands of Krishna. But my own feeling is that I feel like a person who has discovered gold deposits. And he's very greedy to collect all the gold. But there's more there than he can handle. And he becomes very perturbed. He becomes almost mad, and I have to collect all this gold and take it and sell it and get lots of money. Tries to gather as much as he can. So in a similar way, by reading what Srila Prabhupada has given us, by listening to what he says, and in the light of that, by living in the world and observing the situation of this world and interacting with people, then I find that so many things are coming in my mind which I want to write down, I want to make books, I want to speak about so many things. Every line in Srila Prabhupada's book, there's so much depth. They can be unpacked, discussed more and more and more. We really don't have to try to find out something very in different different members of our ISKCON. They're trying to find different things to do or different ways to present Krishna consciousness, but we didn't come to the end of what Srila Prabhupada gave us, nor will we ever come to the end. There's so much there. Every line, every word is for the good of the human society. That's how Srila Prabhupada put it. It's all for the good of the human society. It's knowledge. In other words, this knowledge, it's required for human society. Srila Prabhupada is very conscious when he is writing his books. He wanted to communicate that. He wants to give this knowledge to others. So, in disciplic succession, we also, as the generations go on, tremendous wealth of the spiritual world is unlimited supply. We have to take that out more and more and more and give that to the people of the world. Not that we want, not like someone digging gold and he wants to get some money back, but simply giving. And the more we give, the more we get. And there's no competition. Just like the man, he discovers the gold. And then there's a parable given by Jesus in the, it's recorded in the New Testament of the Bible, that he likens someone who discovers spiritual life, he likens to a man who finds some gold in a field. And then the man sells everything he has so that he can purchase that field, and then he's got the gold. So the example is given that you should be prepared to give everything to get the treasure of spiritual life. So he did that by the man in the parable. It's not really a true story, but the man in the parable, he's greedy. He wants to get the gold for himself. But in Krishna consciousness, it's not that we're in competition with others. There's an unlimited supply, and there's no question of exhausting the supply. We're not in competition with other preachers. We are simply there to complement, that means to assist, or yeah, assist each other. And we may compliment them also, praise them, we should do. There's no question of exhausting the supply, because it's unlimited and ever-increasing. So we are greedy, or we have a strong desire. You see all the devotees here, they have a strong desire to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, to promote the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada has given us. So in that sense, we're greedy, but we're not misers. We don't want to keep anything for ourselves. This is my territory. This is my man. I made him a devotee. I have put my stamp on his forehead. He has to remain with me forever. We're not like that. Our attitude is that if someone's here, oh, he could do better there, let him go. Not that we're trying to make our own empire, little empire. We want to share the fortune. We want to see how everyone is benefited by sharing the great fortune, the great treasure that we have received. And we're all here together. We all realize we're all sharing in that great treasure, and we're all here to assist each other in the great mission to bring this knowledge and this Krishna conscious way of life to others. There's a lot of work to do. If we say the world is going to hell, practically it's like hell. Even in India, you see in Pushkar now the meat eating, meat selling is banned. But most of India, the cows are being slaughtered. That in itself is a hell. That's just one symptom of many, 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 many symptoms of how the world is. In India, under a supposedly Hindu government, cows are being slaughtered. Thousands and thousands every day. What a hellish situation. At least, according to our vision, the Krishna conscious movement doesn't seem to be having much impact. I was speaking with that family, I was telling you, just two nights ago. Hindu family, they don't know Prabhupada's name. They never heard of Srila Prabhupada. Didn't know anything about him. Now they know something. Srila Prabhupada spoke about whole nations becoming Krishna conscious. We sing every day, Ebe Josh Kushok Chabhuvan, may Srila Prabhupada's glories be broadcast all over the world. But there's very little sign of that. In fact, in the 1970s, the Krishna Conscious Movement in America was widely known, whereas now it's hardly at all. In India it's much better known than it was. But in America, where Srila Prabhupada had such great hopes that America would lead the world in Krishna consciousness, the movement is in decline, and it may be terminal decline in as much as we don't see young Westerners joining. Well, it will continue in America as maybe as a maybe you could say it's already a Hindu movement. It's the ISKCON in America is mostly run by Hindus for Hindus. So already maybe it's a Hindu. And of course, the devotees, they're devotees, but they come from Hindu background. So it's a very serious thing that the movement that Srila Prabhupada started in America, with great hopes that America would lead the world, hardly a handful of Americans are taking it up. So we all have a lot of work to do. Personally, I feel, I hope it doesn't sound arrogant, but I have an important message to convey to the members of ISKCON, an important mission in the service of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON and for the whole world, because ISKCON is meant to serve the world. We're all servants. We're here to serve, not to dominate. Sometimes people ask me, why don't you leave ISKCON if you're so unhappy about it? It's actually my main preaching field. My books are mostly aimed at ISKCON members, including the one that I'm working on now. I have been working on for many months and probably quite a few months more to go, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, which is meant to inform the members of ISKCON what Srila Prabhupada wanted, because increasingly they don't know, unfortunately. And a major part of my mission within the broader mission of Srila Prabhupada's mission is to inform others by speaking and by demonstrating that what Srila Prabhupada said works. Prabhupada had the idea of farm communities, Krishna conscious farm communities. We want to show that they work. We want to show that Gurukul works. That we don't have to and we shouldn't make so many changes to Srila Prabhupada, to what Prabhupada gave us. We shouldn't do that. We just heard, I read from Srila Prabhupada, he's speaking about giving the message without addition or alteration. But nowadays, it is preached, I was told, at a European leaders meeting of ISKCON, that a GBC member in Europe had preached to the members there, these are leaders of ISKCON in Europe, that we have to introduce more and more and more this indirect preaching, telling the leaders who are supposed to go and tell their followers don't preach directly, preach indirectly, which means it's not preaching, actually. Well, it's not preaching. As Srila Prabhupada writes here, a devotee's highest position is in preaching all over the world the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But now we have leaders propagating that we should preach, but don't preach that. It's a very dangerous situation. So my mission, or a major part of that, is to inform the ISKCON members to follow Srila Prabhupada, what Srila Prabhupada said, not what we think he might have. Sometimes we hear, well, if Prabhupada was here now, he'd say this, 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 and this, which he never did. So consistently, throughout his life, Srila Prabhupada said the same thing, but because we don't like that, or for whatever reason, we think we should say something different. It's not enough simply to say Jai Srila Prabhupada. We actually, what it means to follow. What does it mean to be a follower? Of course, anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna is glorious, but we do want that they should also see when Srila Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness in India, his movement, he wasn't introducing anything new as he was in the Western world. People knew about chanting Hare Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness as it is, without adulterating. So we shouldn't adulterate. Just present Krishna consciousness as it is. Unfortunately, ISKCON devotees increasingly don't know what's in Srila Prabhupada's books. And I'm not just throwing that out as a wild criticism. Because about 3 years ago, there was a survey done among the leaders of ISKCON. And it was found that most of them hardly ever read Srila Prabhupada's books. Most of them had not even read the whole Bhagavatam. And increasingly, people not only don't know what's in Prabhupada's books, but they're not interested to know. So what's the solution? Become a Ritvik Vadi. No, thank you. They claim to represent Srila Prabhupada, but they in themselves have done more deviation. You see, there are problems with gurus. It's not a new thing. When Krishna said, Sakalena evam parampara praptami mam rajasayo viduhu, Sakalena eha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. Krishna said that the disciplic succession has become spoiled. What does that mean? People have misrepresented it. So Krishna didn't say, okay, no more gurus. He didn't say that. He said, now I'm going to speak the right thing. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, the whole sampradaya declined. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, seeing that, he didn't say, okay, we'll just accept Lord Chaitanya as our guru or Rupa Goswami as our guru. He didn't say that. He said, I am taking the position of presenting Rupa Anoga Virudha Apasidhanta Dvanta Hari. I'm going to give you the real thing which you're not getting. I'm going to give the real message of Rupa Goswami, which on that basis he was making disciples. So Ritvikism isn't it's an imagination. It's something like Mayavad. They take some things that Prabhupada said and some obscure things and interpret it in some strange way because they want to avoid Krishna. So in Ritvikism, they just think something up to avoid having to surrender to a guru. They are Prabhupada's guru, but there's no one there to tell them what they have to do. They're breaking the parampara. Of course, this Ritvikism is very prominent In India, it's a disease going all over the world. My concern is not only for India, even though I spend most of my time here. I'm concerned for the whole world. My books are meant for the ISKCON, books like On Strongly Speaking in Srila Prabhupada, the Mothers and Masters book, which is still banned at ISKCON Vrindavan. Although at least two GBC members who actually read the book said that there's nothing in there which is divergent from Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And now I'm making this Mood and Mission book, just systematically presenting what Srila Prabhupada wanted. I was hopeful after that Strongly Speaking book was released and the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav book was released, that ISKCON leaders would read and they would see that, oh, we need to make some changes here. And I believe many leaders of ISKCON read Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav and verbally appreciated it, but we don't see that how he presented anyabhilashita shunya bhakti, that they started to re-implement that within ISKCON. So it seems that they read it like a fairy story or something like that. Oh, I appreciated it. But they didn't take it seriously enough to see that the same kind of syndrome that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur addressed of Sakale Neha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa. By the mighty influence of time, the parampara is getting spoiled. They didn't recognize it in their own lives and their duty to rectify that situation. That's interesting. Krishna says, Sakale Neha Mahata. This Mahata can mean by the mighty influence of time. It can also mean in a very long time. But in ISKCON's history, we find in not a very long time, in one generation, there's so much diversions. And as I heard one GBC member said when we presented something to him about what some leaders of the Ramanuja Sampradaya said, oh, we don't care. We don't care about the Ramanuja Sampradaya. They don't care. They have 1,000-year-old Sampradaya, still intact, and we don't care what they say. This is simply arrogance. He said, we only care what Prabhupada says. But Srila Prabhupada taught us Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We shouldn't be so arrogant to think that our 50-year-old movement is going on so apparently so strongly, and the Gauriya Math was going on strongly. Then it declined. Why, Srila Prabhupada said? Because they didn't follow the order of their guru. So that's the whole of spiritual life. Everyone understands this principle, whether they're a Vaishnava of different sampradayas, whether they're a Mayavadi, whether they're following the yoga path, whether they're a tantric. Everyone in Vedic culture understands that Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadana gati katopi. If we satisfy the guru, everything is perfect. If we dissatisfy, everything is finished. We take it very lightly, unfortunately. So this movement is supposed to save the world. I'm mostly now sitting on farms. And you may think, well, what's that? What happened? How are you saving the world? What are you doing? Well, I'm just one. I'm not saying I'm going to save the world, but again, it may sound arrogant, but I think that the books that they are important books because they're meant to focus on certain aspects of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. That's another silly idea of the Ritvik Vadis, that no more books after Prabhupada's books. They're the last books. They want to stop the parampara and clog it up. Srila Prabhupada said his books are the law books for the next 10,000 years. But the law books, if you see the law books, if you go in any lawyer's office in his chamber, you'll find there's not only a set of laws, but all the law books have commentaries. And for the law, they'll say this law is understood according to this court case. So it's something like Shastra and Sadhu, something like that. And then the guru, the person who's presenting it in the book. So the law books are meant for commenting on. It's not that it all just stopped up, clogged up. So even though I'm sitting on the farm, well, sitting on the farm also, I want to give some encouragement to these devotees who are dedicated for establishing these farm communities. It's a new frontier of ISKCON. Preaching in the cities, I'm not denigrating preaching in the cities, but it's a well-established pattern what to do. It's pretty clear what to do. You go out, you distribute books, you hold programs, you invite people, you preach according to what's in the books, you induce them to become devotees, you hold festivals. It's pretty clear what to do. But for the farm communities, it's a whole new frontier. There's so many questions so many situations arise. So I want to give some encouragement to the devotees who are doing that by staying on the farm. That also facilitates my writing of books. And I know that many of you would like me to travel to all your different places, as I used to travel a lot. I'm cutting down on my travel, as I say every year now, that I need the time for staying in one place for writing books, and also my health hasn't been good. Actually, right now I'm in pretty good health. The last few months have been a struggle. So whatever little energy is there, before I become a frog too old to move and the ants start biting me, I want to instead of jumping around a little bit, I'm a Dr. Frog. Writing books. But this is a Dr. Frog with Srila Prabhupada's blessing. So even Dr. Frog, the scholar in the university, can become redeemed and can offer something valuable. I'm going on writing books, giving talks which are being recorded and going here and there, so you can listen to that and see. I still don't understand why people like to see so much, but somehow or other the lectures which are on YouTube are more popular than those which only have an audio recording. It's the recording which is the important thing, not the looking at the face, but somehow or other the YouTube lectures are the most popular. But I request those of you who like to listen to my lectures, don't stick only to YouTube. There are many more lectures which are recorded prior to the YouTube days. And also, when I see the number of hits for lectures recorded, I see that my Vishnu Sahasranam lectures, they get small hits, maybe because the titles are not so exciting. But it's just glorification of Krishna. So please don't neglect that. I'll read again from Prabhupada's purport here. Devotee's highest position is in preaching all over the world the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Vishnu Sahasranam lectures, they may not be interesting in the sense of analyzing the condition of society today, or talking about science or Mayavad and how they're all rascals and things like that. Although Mayavad discussion does come also. But it's glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you like my lectures, please don't neglect the Vishnu Sahasranam lectures. It's a big project which I took on to speak on 1,000 names of Vishnu, and I'm very happy that Krishna within the heart inspired me to do that. I may not see you all very much. I may only see you once a year or even less. Even that, I may personally meet you only in a group for a few minutes, or maybe not even that. I might not remember the name that I gave you, but you can please feel close to me as I feel close to Srila Prabhupada by hearing him and Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chetete Kriya Aikya, being one with him in understanding and trying to serve his mission. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Thank you very much, not just for patiently listening to this class, but thank you very much to all of you for all that you're doing in Srila Prabhupada's service. Hare Krishna. Mancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.